or a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground unperceived by your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. This is the gospel of the Lord. Would you like to sit down? And may I speak and may we respond in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. At first reading, that gospel sounds really grim. It talks about a time of division and conflict. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword." And then he says, "I've come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household." It's a really complicated reading. And it's set in the middle of a bigger conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples about discipleship. And I don't think we can fully understand the meaning of today's reading without looking at the whole conversation that Jesus had. Earlier in chapter 9 of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus is moving from place to place. He's performing his ministry. He's healing the sick and the suffering. He picks up some followers on the way, which he calls disciples. He heals someone who's paralyzed. He calls Matthew, the tax collector, to become a disciple. Two blind men get their sight restored, and another man who's mute is healed. And the people following Jesus continue growing in number as he moves from place to place. After all, if you heard and saw all that was going on, wouldn't you want to follow as well? And then in chapter 10, Jesus singles out 12 of his most faithful and trusted followers. He gets them together and he gives them power and authority to do exactly as he did. They've got to go out there, heal the sick, restore people who are broken. They are entrusted with the same power that they saw Jesus using. And we're even told that these disciples were given authority over unclean spirits. Jesus said that these disciples could cast these unclean spirits out of people in his name. They also had authority from Jesus to cure every disease and every sickness. So it's a really big commission that they were sent out on. And that's how chapter 10 begins. Jesus encourages his disciples to to go out there and do what he did. And then he talks to them a bit about how this ministry is this new ministry is going to look at like. They've got to step out boldly in faith. They've got to go out there, out of their comfort zones, and proclaim the good news. That's the message Jesus has trusted them with. That's what they've got to say. They've got to say to people who are sick and suffering that actually the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is coming near. And they're sent out really simply. They don't take any gold or silver or copper in their belts. Their authority comes from Jesus to cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, and cast out demons. And then Jesus goes on to say to them that this is going to be a really challenging ministry for the disciples. After all, it was a challenging ministry for Jesus. His ministry wasn't always readily accepted. Pharisees and scribes were continually trying to put him on the spot and catch him out. Jesus even told his disciples that they were going to be attacked for what they believed in. And we could say that's exactly the same today. People get attacked for being Christian, for expressing that faith in Jesus. So in all of that, we have our reading today. Jesus points out a time of unavoidable conflict between different viewpoints. He reminds the disciples that their going out there and performing this ministry is going to put them in competition with a lot of the social structures and the beliefs that made up life in the first century. What those disciples were doing was going to compete with the economic and the social structures of the day. Those structures would often tolerate neglect and abuse. We could say that some structures today have never changed either. But the world of the first century was a difficult place. And later on, it would be really dangerous to call yourself a Christian. You'd be up against the authorities of the day. People ended up being persecuted for daring to believe in Jesus. And that still happens in our world today. In certain countries, in certain societies, it's really dangerous. It's even life-threatening to call yourself a believer in Jesus. And if you were one of those people who was on the edge of society, life would have been even more difficult for you. If you were sick, if you were malnourished, if you were an outsider, you couldn't really contribute much to life. So you were maligned for being who you were. If you lived on the edges of society, ultimately you'd be forgotten about. Society would often favour the strong. And maybe again, that's true today. People who sit outside of the norms of society often get maligned for being exactly who they are or expressing themselves as well. But in the call of the disciples, in the instructions that they received from Jesus, the disciples were given a really simple message that they had to go out there and tell people about. And the message was, the kingdom of God is near. And in those words, things get turned upside down. Because the kingdom of heaven is not set in terms of human values. It's set in terms of God's values. And God means new priorities and new values, a new and exciting way of living, a new society where everyone is included. And even if you're on the margins, you're as much a part as those at the center. Through the ministry of Jesus and his disciples, there's a new concern for people on the edge of society. The poorest of the poor, the people whose society would rather forget, are included. there's a genuine care and concern, particularly for the widow, the orphan, the refugee, and the stranger. So that gospel message that the kingdom of heaven is near had some really important implications for life at the time. That message went against the political and social structures. But we can also struggle with that message today. If we go out there and we say to people that the kingdom of God has come near, people will often mock us for daring to say that. The church doesn't hold the privileged place in society that it used to. Some say that our churches are in decline. But in other ways, we share more in common with the disciples of the first century. Perhaps as a church, we are on the outside of society as well. Maybe now we're speaking from the sidelines and not at the center. Maybe our mission is to move more towards the center and make our voices louder. The disciples, in their commission from Jesus, were called to challenge the unjust structure of society that existed at the time. Perhaps our churches today are called to do exactly the same. We're called to speak against injustice. We're called to say to everyone that the kingdom of heaven has come near. Whether people choose to hear that and receive it is up to them. But if we don't try, we won't have a beginning. When Jesus talks about conflict within the family, when he talks about son against father or daughter against mother, Jesus is talking about the conflict that comes about when different viewpoints or opinions come together. That is speaking to us today to remind us that we need to stay strong and stay firm and be confident in our faith when society says that the church and God have been forgotten about. Against all the voices, we're called to speak even louder. We're called to speak the truth, but also defend the cause of the people who are most vulnerable. Even when it's costly, even when the words we've got to say are not going to be received particularly well or at all. That gospel today reminds us that our discipleship, our commitment to Jesus, our following of him and our living out of our faith is all part of our journey through life. Being a disciple isn't a job. Being a disciple isn't an occupation. Being a disciple is not something we do when we've got nothing better to do. Being a disciple is tied to being exactly who we are. We're Christians. We're people who believe in Jesus. We're people who are called to share with others the good news that the kingdom of heaven has come near and is here in our midst. Those disciples, as they prepared to undertake that first journey, as Jesus instructed them, must have been thinking all sorts of things in their hearts and minds. But Jesus offered them some really wise advice. He reminded the disciples that they couldn't choose to pick who was worthy of receiving the message. It's only God who can do that. We proclaim that the kingdom is near to those people who need to hear that message. People on the margins of society, people who live without God. We're called to give consideration to people who are poor, needy, neglected, isolated for all sorts of reasons. We're called to proclaim that the kingdom has come near to people regardless of where they come from, what they believe, and how they express themselves. And that can be costly. The word is not always received, Yet God calls us to stand firm. And God says, yes, there will still be divisions in families, in churches, in our nation. But I'm going to finish by reading the verses from Matthew's Gospel that we don't hear this morning, but actually follow on after that reading. Because then Jesus goes on to talk about the welcome that we offer, a welcome that's universal. Because he goes on to say, whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. Our faith calls us to be strong. Our faith calls us to show no compromise. Our faith calls us to be disciples, to go out there and proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is near and in our midst. We're called to give ourselves wholeheartedly to that mission, to put God first, and the rewards for doing so will be immense. It's worth it if we'll only follow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand as we say the creed together.